Hello and welcome. Thank you for listening. My name is Sarah Baumert. I am a yoga teacher, Feldenkrais practitioner, and host of the Sarah B. Yoga podcast. The Sarah B. Yoga podcast and my practice, Body Matter, is an interdisciplinary learning space where we explore the many ways that movement can help facilitate body acceptance and awareness, reduce pain and stress, regulate the nervous system, and build strength and ease. My teaching plays with the synthesis of Feldenkrais awareness through movement lessons, traditional yoga asana, creative imagery, breathing exercises, self-massage, and a compassionate mindset to help you feel a greater sense of ease and comfort in yourself. Sarah B. Yoga and Body Matter have a lot of other program offerings. These podcasts are just a taste of my teaching. Each week, I teach a range of online classes, including a gentle yoga class, a level 2 class for more advanced students, and Feldenkrais classes with monthly themes, anatomy lessons, and Q&A sessions for more in-depth study. I have 2 new courses starting at the end of February. One is my continued Monday night blending of yoga and Feldenkrais class. This series will have a focus on the pelvic floor, the psoas, and the abdominal complex. Each class will use pelvic floor mapping as an entry point for a well-rounded practice. The second course is The Secret Language of the Arms, where we will explore Feldenkrais lessons that offer the hidden potential within the upper body. You might imagine this scenario. You go to just grab your phone and check on something, and before you know it, that kind of gripping action of your hands, of holding the phone, starts to create a tension that travels up your arms, to your neck, to your jaw, to your chest. You might even realize that you've been holding your breath and you're somewhat lost in this digital world as your body braces. And for what, really? We've all been there, uncomfortable with the tension that comes from our technology, where the strain travels from our fingertips up through our arms, into our shoulders, our chest, even to our foreheads. And none of us are immune to these kinds of modern day scenarios. So in this series, The Secret Language of the Arms, each lesson will include 2 components. We'll move from microcosm to macrocosm and connect the dots along the way. So you can think microcosm, an exploration of the articulation and functional coordination of the smaller joints, like the fingers, the wrists, the elbows. And then we'll expand outwards, discovering how your arms integrate with the whole self, feeling the way your spine, your ribs, even your legs and your feet, how they contribute to the harmony of the movement of your arms. No Feldenkrais lesson is complete without an integration of the whole self. While there will be this focus on the upper extremities, these will be whole body lessons. You can find a link for these 2 new spring courses that start at the very end of February, beginning of March. Find all of that in the show notes, or just visit body-matter.com. I hope to see some of you there. Okay, on to today's episode. Hello, and welcome to the Sarah B. Yoga Podcast. This podcast is an intersection of my yoga teaching and my training in the Feldenkrais Method. The last week or so, I've been focusing in some of my classes on caring for our neck. And this class is part 1. It is a lot of education and awareness of the neck. There's not going to be a lot of deep stretching. And stretching the neck is actually something we want to be kind of careful with. Our neck has a lot of mobility, a lot of potential for mobility. And sometimes we actually use the neck more than we need to because other parts of the body, particularly your thoracic spine, might feel pretty tight and doesn't move as much as it could. And so then the neck does more of the moving. And you can think about this like turning your head right and left. Like maybe you're in the car and you need to look over your shoulder or look over your shoulder for whatever reason. And, you know, is it just the head that moves, which would sort of just be your neck doing that rotation? Or do you use more of yourself? And so because we often don't use more of ourselves, then the neck starts to strain and overworks. So as you go through class today, it's gentle. It's, again, a lot more about awareness rather than stretching. And part two, which will come out, is going to be a shorter and just a little bit more strength work for the neck. So before I get into class, if you have your phone nearby or even anything that's sort of like your phone, like a bar of chocolate or a pen or something like that, and just hold it in your hand as if it's your phone and, you know, look down at it like you're doing something that you often do with your phone, and just notice the positioning of your chest and your head, your eyes, and the kind of bend of your arm, the grip that you have with your hand. So this whole front line shortens when we're holding our phone and looking down at it, and that certainly affects the neck. So this is what we're going to get curious about today. If you are interested in a class that shows some visuals, there is a sample class for my library that works with some of this neck, postural neck work. And if you're interested in any of those classes, you can see my schedule of live online classes and self-paced yoga and Feldenkrais courses that do include video. Find those at my website, body-matter.com, and all of that is in the show notes. And then for today, you're just going to need a blanket. So grab yourself a blanket, make sure your space is ready, and we'll get started with class. Okay, so to begin, could you just come to a seated position? And this could be cross-legged, you could even be sitting in a chair. We're just going to bring some awareness to the spine for a moment and just sit, and don't feel like you need to sit in any particular way, but just maybe you could even close your eyes and notice the weight of your head right now. And if you can sense where in your neck or your spine or somewhere else in the body you may be efforting in order to hold your head wherever it is. And does your head feel like it's a little bit forward or it's a little bit off to one side? Just notice, and notice the comfort level. Okay, and then grab a yoga blanket. We'll make a single blanket roll. And so for me, this looks like I take my yoga blanket, I fold it. If it was all the way outstretched, I'd fold it in half once. I'd fold it in half again. And then one end has fringes and I roll that up. And so it's a cylinder that's, you know, not too long, not too thick. And you're going to lie that rolled up blanket so that it's parallel with the long end of your mat. Sit in front of the blanket, a good 6 to 10 inches in front of the blanket, and you'll lie down in a moment on the blanket, and we want that edge of the cylinder to be about near the bottom of your shoulder blades. So the blanket's not going to be underneath your lower back, but underneath sort of like the lower portion of your rib cage. So maybe halfway down the back. And when you do that, your head should also be resting on the blanket. So you have blanket roll between your shoulder blades and behind your head. And then just, you know, your pelvis is on the floor. Go ahead and stand your feet so that your knees are bent, pointed to the ceiling. And just let your arms rest wherever they want to for a moment. You can close your eyes. And so you're in a back bend to a certain extent. But your head is not lower than your chest right now. And feel if this is comfortable or not. And just remember that your props can always, you can always edit your props.
And does this feel like, you know, almost like a stretch already for your neck or maybe across the chest? And start to bring attention to your breathing. And then take your hands, your fingertips, to your collarbone. So your right hand finds your right collarbone, your left hand finds your left collarbone. And with your finger pads, find the inner part of your collarbone, where your collarbones meet your sternum. They meet the top of the sternum. There's a little joint there. And just let the finger pads kind of walk or trace along the collarbone out towards the shoulder and feel how much of that area you can sense or feel with your fingers, noticing the shape, the length of it. And then if you can find some way to place your palms so that they're on this upper chest area, maybe some part of your fingers or resting on your collarbones, you can do that. But if that feels kind of awkward for your elbows or your shoulders, then don't worry about it. But right behind the collarbones there's a lot of things, but one of which is some lung tissue. And a lot of people don't realize that the lung tissue can go up this high in the body. And so if you just take a really full breath in, a full diaphragmatic breath where the abdomen expands, and that same breath in expands your ribs and eventually your chest, and then exhale when you need to. And do that a few times and just getting a sense of how much movement you feel behind your collarbones. And if you imagine that you had a little deflated balloon behind each collarbone, and that when you inhale, that those balloons start to inflate, and it might change the shape of your breath a little bit. So trying that as you're inhaling. And I don't want you to force this or even create tension, particularly in the neck, when you're attempting this. So think of it very lightly, this light exploration of just bringing a little bit more expansion in the upper chest. And while you do that, keep in mind your neck and notice if the neck muscles want to do some of the work for that inhale breath to happen in that way. And if they do, if you're recruiting your neck, well, that's really good information for you. And so maybe you just try the exploration a little bit lighter. You know, less forceful with the expansion behind the collarbones. Great. So you can keep playing with that any amount. And now bring your arms out to a cactus position. So your upper arm bones will be straight out from the shoulders, the elbows bend 90 degrees, and the backs of the hands are coming towards the floor. Now, not everybody can get the backs of the hands to the floor. But if you can, great. You know, lucky you. And you can open up the palms and press the backs of the hands, the fingernails, a little bit backward. You don't have to do this with all of your might. If you do it with all of your might, you may feel that your neck starts to engage. So we're bringing awareness to the neck, clearly. And as we do some of these movements with the arms and the hands, just keep in mind the neck and notice what affects it. I'm hoping that this class will help you connect some dots of like, when you do something with a different part of the body, how the neck is affected. So as you press the backs of the hands and even the forearm area back towards the floor, you're getting this opening across the chest. Maybe you feel a little bit of a stretch. And can you hear, sense an expansive inhale behind your collarbones and out wide towards the sides of your ribs? And then gently bring your arms back down alongside the body, but this time turn your palms so they face down. And go ahead and kind of walk, creep your fingers a little bit farther away from your shoulders. So you're walking your hands down towards your feet as much as you can. That's going to straighten the arms. It's going to pull the shoulders a little bit down from the ears. And once you've walked your hands as far as you can, then firmly push the hands into the floor, finger pads, like the palms are trying to push the floor back. And when you do that, simultaneously lift your forearms towards the ceiling. Keep lifting the forearms to the ceiling and move your upper arm bone near your shoulder joint back towards the floor again. And that's going to start to bring a little activation into the muscles of your back. You may feel that your shoulder blades firm a little bit towards the blanket. And you're going to maintain all of those activations. So when we activate, you know, the back, this is really reductionist, we activate these muscles in the back, it's going to signal an opening, a lengthening in the front. You're focusing on the activation. See if you can feel the shoulder blades firming towards the blanket. And does your head, does your neck really need to be involved too much with this? Can you just kind of feel the weight of the head dropping back into the blanket? But for a few more breaths, palms are pushing down, forearms are lifting, upper arm bones are moving back. And when you do this, it may even feel like the chest right at the sternum lifts a little bit, like the sternum or the vertebra between the shoulder blades are almost unweighting a little bit off the blanket. Good. Take one more breath in here. And then as you exhale, let go of all of that work and let the arms just kind of float on the floor off to the side. Maybe the arms want to rotate, perhaps the palms face up, just whatever the arms want to do, just feel them widen a little bit and let yourself sink into the blanket. And then bring attention to your feet now. So soles of the feet are standing. Push your feet down into the floor and a little bit away from your head. Feel how the rest of your body responds. And then start to pull your feet towards your head. And it's almost like when you do this action, it's almost like you want to lift the feet off of the mat, but you don't. So your feet pull, like your heels are pulling towards your sitting bones. And it might arch the low back a little bit. And then push again your feet down into the floor and try to push the mat away from your head. Your pelvis will tilt slightly and the low back might come a little bit in the direction of the floor. And then again, pull your feet towards your sitting bones and feel how that gently arches the back. So you're going to alternate pushing the feet down and away from you and then pulling the feet towards the sitting bones. And start slowly. And please allow the rest of the body to respond to this. So allow that tilting of the pelvis that happens. And allow the spine, at one moment you might feel like your spine is being pulled, like the tail end is being pulled. And at one point you may feel like the spine is being pushed towards your head. And then, of course, the blanket is right there between your shoulder blades. So there's this sort of sawing action that's happening right between the shoulder blades. And right now, those back muscles just get to receive this and be relaxed. And the feet are pushing and pulling. Push down into the mat and push the mat away from your head and then pull the heels towards the head. Now, the feet aren't actually moving where they are in space. They're just changing their action. And so it's creating this rocking of the pelvis and sort of movement through the spine. And you might even feel like your head's moving, like your chin nods a little towards the chest and away from the chest. And now if you don't feel that, if you don't feel your chin coming a little towards and away from the chest, then we could think that there's some kind of holding, some kind of bracing or gripping, maybe in the neck or maybe elsewhere, that is restraining the head, sort of protecting the head, keeping it in place. And so if you could just kind of look about yourself and see if you could soften in some way so that your head finds a little bit of freedom, freedom to move, if that feels safe. And this pushing and pulling with the feet, you can start to do it a little bit quicker if that's interesting to you. And this can turn into kind of a rocking or an oscillation. So it can be very light and maybe even smaller than what you're doing, but quickly. It'll push, pull, push, pull, push, pull. And continue to let the pelvis rock and the spine get pulled and pushed. Great. And then just let that all rest. Let the rocking pause. So in a moment, we're going to change where our blanket is. So just roll to your side, and the blanket might be pretty flattened. So you can fluff the blanket, make it cylindrical again. And this time, you're just going to flip the blanket 90 degrees so that the blanket goes right underneath your neck, underneath the curve of your neck. And so you can start to do that. Lie down and place that cylindrical blanket right behind the neck. And when you do that, you want to feel for the occipital ridge. So maybe you bring your thumbs to the base of your skull and you're kind of looking for that bony area of the base of the skull. So right around there, you want the blanket to be there. The blanket is not behind the back of your head. The blanket is also not underneath your shoulders. So we're kind of wedging that blanket between the top of the shoulders and the base of the skull. So it's taking up all the negative space behind your neck. When I do this with a blanket roll, the back of my head doesn't touch the floor at all. So you're kind of letting gravity take the head back, and then you have this support under the neck. And again, bend your knees and stand your feet. And just take the arms wherever they want to be. Close your eyes and feel how your neck appreciates this or not. Does it feel like relief? Does it feel like you're not sure? Like maybe you need a few more moments to feel how the neck adapts to this? Is all of this attention to the neck actually just confirming for you some area that's kind of grumpy, and it's really clear where that is? Kind of just see what shows up. And then let your arms widen a little bit, like kind of like you're doing Shavasana, but your arms are a little bit wider from you. And then rotate your arms so your palms do face the ceiling if they're not already. And just relax the arms and the hands. And when you relax the hands, for most people, the fingers are kind of curled in a little bit. They're flexed, curled in towards the palms. So we're going to do a really slow action with the fingers. But while you're doing it, you're paying attention to the neck and any kind of change or response, reactivity you feel there. So starting with your index fingers, lengthen the index fingers so that the fingernails come to the floor. Keep them there. Lengthen the middle fingers so that those two fingernails come to the floor. Keep them there. Then the ring fingers open slowly. Then the pinky fingers. So we've got 8 fingernails touching the floor. And then lastly, start to open your thumb. See if you can bring the thumbnails to the floor. So you have all 5 fingernails on the floor. Just, you know, did that soften the neck? Did it engage it? And then reverse that. Let the thumb curl in. Let the pinky fingers curl in, the ring fingers curl in, then the middle fingers, then the index fingers. So you're going to continue like that slowly in that order, index, middle, ring, pinky, then thumb, and then bring thumb in and continue like that. And when you do it, I'll just talk a little bit. So you're keeping in mind your neck. And so this is just helping us educate ourselves about how when we do something with the distal end, fingertips, that's like the farthest distal point of your arms, when we activate something in the distal end, how does the neck respond? How is it connected? And so you can think about throughout the day, all the different things that you might grab onto, hold onto, sometimes with more strength, with more tension than we need to, or even just the articulation that you're doing with your hands throughout the day. And that starts to close off this front line that we just opened while we were in cactus. Okay, so let that exploration go. Hopefully you learned a little bit of something about yourself. And then bring your arms up towards the ceiling now. So the arms are vertical. And you rotate your arms so that the palms face one another. You don't have to reach really strongly through your arms. You can actually have pretty soft hands. But your arms are straight and vertical. And then take your arms and see if they can get even taller. So they're going even more towards the ceiling. When you do that, you'll feel your shoulder blades wide and your upper back might round a little bit. And then keeping your arms straight and vertical, plug the arm bones back like you want to stamp, like you want to imprint the backs of the shoulders into the floor. And go back and forth like this. So this is just a protraction and retraction of the scapula. So the arms lift towards the ceiling and then the straight arms move back towards the floor. And you can kind of look for your end range. And while you're doing it, keep in mind the neck. So we're really committed to paying attention to the neck and how the neck responds. Great. And so now take the arms and just let them rest again. Bring the arms down. Let the head roll a little to one side and the other. And if you feel like your blanket is sort of squished again, flattened out, you can kind of fluff it or make it a little bit more cylindrical. Or if you've adapted to the blanket in some way that you don't like and you need the blanket to be smaller or bigger, like do that, change it. And as you're just rolling your head, it might feel kind of nice, a little bit more pressure at that occipital ridge area, soften your jaw. Great. And then come back to the middle and bring your arms straight out to the side. And this time, so you're making a wide, wide shape with the arms. Like a T. This time, turn your arms so that your palms face down. Take the finger pads and push the finger pads into the floor and kind of claw the floor. We're using both hands here. Like you want to pull the finger pads towards the center of your palm. And I think of this like when a cat grabs onto fabric and you go and you try to lift the cat up off the couch. And they kind of claw into the couch and you can't lift them. So you're doing that. You're clawing a little bit with the finger pads and then letting it go. And so you activate that cat claw action and then release it. And again, this is sort of for educational purposes, just feeling when I do that, what happens through the whole line of the arm and the chest, the front of the throat, the sides of the neck. How reactive does the neck need to be? Can you keep the cat claw action going and soften it all in the neck? Great. And then let that release. And now bring your arms back up towards the ceiling and rotate your arms this time so that the palms are facing away from your feet. So your arms are vertical, palms are facing towards the head side of the mat. And with straight arms, cross the arms so that your right arm is in front of your left arm, like you're making an X with the arms. Maybe you can cross beyond the elbows. Maybe the upper arm bones can cross. And if you have more tissue in the front of the chest, breast tissue, broad shoulders, tight pecs, you can move your arms a little bit more towards your head. So let's all widen the arms again so they're parallel. The two arms are parallel. And then just try, take your arms a little bit more towards the floor overhead, maybe like 20 or 30 degrees. So you're just kind of removing that chest tissue so it doesn't have to be in the way. And then cross your right arm in front of your left again. And if that helped, if that kind of eased any kind of anxiety around that action of, bringing the arms closer together and folding at the chest, then you can keep your arms more in this position. And we're just going to open the arms so the two arms are parallel with one another and then cross the arms into the X. And you can alternate which arm is in front. And again, the palms stay facing the head side of the mat. The arms stay straight. And what we're really looking for is movement in the shoulder blades. You know, you might, again, look for that end range of like how far you can cross the X, but that's a little less important than just like making sure that you're feeling some shoulder blade movement. And then keeping in mind the neck. With what intensity do you do this? And can you do it in such a way that the head is feeling free, the neck is feeling free? Okay, let that go. And bring your arms back alongside the body again. If you need to fluff up the blanket one more time, do that. And feel the feet into the floor. And go back to that pushing and pulling with your feet. So you're going to push the feet down and away from your head, and then pull the feet a little towards the head. Push and pull. And you may, again, feel that your head nods, the chin comes a little towards the chest and away from the chest. And I hope that that's happening. If it's not, look about yourself and see if you're gripping or straining anywhere. When you push the feet down and away from you, the lower back moves towards the floor. And when you pull the feet towards the sitting bones, the lower back will arch a little bit. You're not having to activate in order for that action to happen in the low back and the pelvis. It's coming from the feet. So it's sort of like your feet are steering this. Push and pull. And then feeling how your spine gets pushed and pulled. There's a little direction upward towards your head and then a pull away from your head. And seeing if the weight of your head can just respond. So there's a little bit of a nodding yes action that happens. You can take that push and pull with your feet and make it a little bit quicker. If that makes sense for you, that feels good. It doesn't mean more effort to go quicker. So in order to go quicker, you may need to make it smaller. And think of it as being light, kind of airy, this sort of jostling, jiggling oscillation. Good. All right. Let that rest. And now just roll to your side and come on up to sit. And in this seated position, you can sit cross-legged. Be sure that you have something underneath your pelvis so that your lower back doesn't have to round. So as much of a folded blanket or even a block, if you want to put that under your pelvis. And sit cross-legged and just take a moment to sense the neck. What kind of sensations are there? Where do you feel the weight of your head? Is there a sense of length, or is the head heavier? Is it lighter? Any change in your jaw, or if you had any tension in the head? Okay, so now from this seated position, cross-legged, grab one of your blocks. And you're going to hold the block behind your head. So you can take the block so it's like on the long width behind the head. So both hands have the sides of the block and your elbows will be pointed a little bit forward. So you're just giving a surface for the back of your head to push back into a little bit. Holding the block there, elbows are pointed forward, soften the shoulders, and see if you can feel your head start to push back into the block. Now, it's not a lifting of your chin. It's more as though the face moves back, straight back, towards where the back of your head is, and then the back of the head presses into the block, and you're giving a little resistance for that action to happen. When you do that, can you feel a slight lift at the top of the sternum? Remember the breath coming into your upper chest. Good. And then lower the block down and now interlace your fingers behind your head so that your thumbs are right at that occipital ridge area, the base of the occiput. Your elbows point forward again. And now right where your thumbs are, start to push back. So the chin doesn't lift, the chin starts parallel to the floor and it stays parallel to the floor as the head just goes back a little bit. This is subtle. It's not a huge movement. But you might feel the muscles in the back of the neck start to engage. And I actually hope you do, because these are the muscles that are quite long and often locked in a long position, especially if we're looking down, looking at our phones a lot, looking down at a keyboard or down at a computer. Anything that requires our head to be down and forward starts to lengthen the back of the neck. So as you push back into where your thumbs are, where your head meets your thumbs, maybe the front of the throat is getting a little bit of length. And so you push back towards your thumbs, but also think up there, like you're lengthening up a little bit. You're getting a little bit taller. Feel the top of the sternum trying to chase your chin. It's trying to lift up towards your chin. Great. And then let that release for a moment. And now one more thing, bring the hands, interlaced fingers, to the top of your head. So you interlace your fingers and you just place your palms on the top of the head. And then slouch a little bit, round your back, get short, get kind of slumpy, like you're squishing yourself down with your hands, just so we have somewhere to come from. And then from there, start to push back up into your hands. And maybe you feel like you have to root into the floor somewhere. Maybe you feel like it's starting to come from your abdomen or somewhere lower down in your spine, that you're finding this uprightness so that you can push upward towards your hands. And then slouch again. Sort of get really short, get small, and then get tall. But use the hands on the top of the head as some feedback. Now, the hands pushing down, they don't have to push down a lot, but in a way, this is like what gravity is doing to you all day long, but you're not thinking about it. You don't have that same kind of feedback that you do right now with your hands. And it's usually much more subtle than what you're doing right now, right? You're really trying to kind of slouch and scrunch down and then get tall. But that just beginning action of slouching probably starts to come into the body when we start to get a little tired at the end of the day. And you can feel what happens. Your sternum moves back, your chest collapses, your head probably comes forward a little bit. Doesn't feel super great. And then notice the opposite. What happens when you push up into your hands? Maybe there's a little opening through the chest somewhere, or a length through the front of the body. Great. Okay, let that rest. And just come onto your back. We'll just do like a final short rest on the back. So this time, lie without anything underneath the neck. Just come to Shavasana. Let your arms be as wide as they'd like to be, just what feels comfortable. Try not to feel like you have to place your arms in any particular way. Let the eyes close. And notice the natural curve behind the neck. So there's likely some space between the floor and the back of the neck. And feel the parts of you that meet the floor. The back of your head, the back of your shoulders. Upper back. And even though the back of your neck may be off the floor, is there still some sense of support? Like in the way that the arch of a cathedral, the stones at the top center of the arch, they're not touching the floor. But because of the architecture, there's support from the base. And so maybe you can still feel that even though the back of the neck is not touching the floor, that there's still a support. Just let your breath come to a really natural pace as you exhale. You can feel the sense of sinking a bit into the floor. And now, in a really gentle way, just begin to find a little movement with your fingers. Maybe they wiggle through space. The thumb pads can rub across the pads of the other fingers. And notice, does the neck need to respond? Maybe the neck is a little softer. Maybe the quality of what you're doing with your hands is really soft. Go ahead and roll your head a little bit from one side to the other. Not to see how far it can go, but just sort of feeling this invitation of, oh, how heavy is the head? Can I roll the head with very little effort in the neck? And then when you're ready, you can come to your side and come up to sit. And either just sitting, noticing how the head rests on the spine, or even coming up to stand and walking a bit. All right, thanks so much, everyone. I hope this was helpful, educational for you, your neck, yourself. Namaste.
Are you enjoying this podcast? I've chosen to offer these audio recordings freely for over 15 years. I do this because research shows yoga, yoga nidra, and Feldenkrais to be valuable practices, those which I would like to share widely. Dana, the Buddhist practice of generosity, has always been a pillar of my business. And more generally, Dana is the inclination to give without expecting any form of repayment. It does, however, take a fair amount of time, effort, and cost to maintain and keep the podcasts available. If you feel you've benefited from what you've learned from these classes, then please do consider making a contribution towards the maintenance and upkeep of the classes. It will help ensure that I can continue to offer the podcast classes freely and keep generating new material. Give what you can. Give what feels good. If it's too little, it won't feel good. If it's too much, it won't feel good. Links to support the show monetarily can be found in the show notes. And other ways to give include sharing the podcast with others, leaving a 5-star rating and review, or just sending me an email with how the classes have affected you. Thanks so much.